Sir, thank you. Turn with me to Ephesians, the third chapter. We begin where we left off last week, Ephesians, the third chapter. Of course, we're still talking about the will. More and more I read about it, the more and more I realize that it's how important it is that we understand how critical our will is. Ephesians, the third chapter. Now let me let you know something about your spirits. Hold your fingers there, because I want you to know that your spirit is at the highest level it's going to ever be. I won't look at everybody, make sure they hear what I'm saying. Spirit going to be the highest level it's ever going to be. How I know that? Very simple. Go to Genesis. So our whole existence here on earth is not trying to make our spirits improve our spirits. That's not why. That's not what you're working on. Here's why you're not working on that. Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse. This says, God said, let us make man in our image. All right, 1 John 4, you know, turn there. 1 John 4 chapter, it says that no man has ever seen God. So if no man has ever seen God, then we've been made in the image of God, cannot be talking about our flesh. Right? So it's got to be talking about our spirit. Not only our spirit, but how our soul cooperates with our spirit. Our spirit cooperates with our soul. We're made in it. So that means, watch this. So that means that our spirit imperfection can't come from perfection. Only imperfection can come from imperfection. So if you take something perfect and you take its image, then the image is going to be perfect. Right? So if we're made in the image of God, Bible said God is a spirit, we're made his image. That means when he made us perfect from jump. All right, so the purpose of Jesus being born again, I mean, Jesus being died, being his death, burial, and resurrection, and we being born again, the purpose of that is to reconnect our soul to our perfected spirit. Right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I want that to sink in, because a lot of times we be working on our spirits when really what's supposed to be happening to our spirits is that our spirit is supposed to be unleashed. And the only way it can be unleashed in this natural world is through our soul. So if my soul is a blocker, am I? So when, because watch this, the Bible says that we ought to hide the word of God where? Wait a minute. He didn't say spirit, did he? Hide the word of God in our heart. Why? So that we won't. Right? So sin does not originate in the spirit. Sin originates in our soul. Is this making sense? So you don't have to worry about what I need you to know about your spirit is that your spirit has untapped power. If I'm made in the image of God, that, and watch this, thank you, Holy Spirit. If I'm made in the image of God and my life is not displaying God's image, that means my soul is in the way somewhere. Are you seeing this? So you're not working on your spirit. Your spirit is already perfected. When you got born again, you became alive again to who God made you to be. You watch this. Make it plain. Your conscience woke up to who God is and who God made you to be. So now, after you, that's why it says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, you're a new creature in Christ, right? All things pass away. Behold, all things become new. So what they're really saying is when you became born again, your soul, your conscience woke up to it, to a creature that he didn't know existed. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Go to Romans, the 8th chapter. We'll come back to Galatians. Romans, the 8th chapter. Watch this. Verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, the glory, the success which shall be revealed in us. Right. For the earnest expectation of the creature meaning earth, waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the earth, who is a creature that we were conforming to, is now waiting for the transformation, transformed into the sons of God. What scripture do we talk about being conformed and transformed? Romans 12 and 2. What transforms us? The word of God. Word of God doing what? Renewing what? Your mind. So when you renew your mind with the word of God, you're manifesting into a son of God. You're no longer this old creature. You a new creature. Because I'm not conforming to the old creature. Because the old creature know there's more to me than I know. So the old creature is trying to make me conform. How does the old creature try to make me conform? By outside stimuli, thoughts bombarding me, trying to shape how I think, trying to shape how I feel, trying to shape how I make decisions. So when I take the word of God and begin to renew my mind, I'm being transformed to this new creature. I'm becoming aware of who I really am. Every time I read the word of God, I'm discovering more about myself. Every time I read the word of God and discover something about God, I'm ready to discover something about me, because I'm made in his image. So that means that God was, watch this, that means God was existing in me. I just didn't recognize it until my conscience got woke up. Is this making sense? So your constant, if you allow me to say, I don't want to use the word battle, because it's not really a battle, because you won this already. And the reason why a lot of people don't walk in the victory is because they're not letting their soul be transformed. We let outside stimuli affect us more than what's on the inside of us. Remember we talked about last week how the word of God is the only thing that doesn't change. And the Lord thy God, I change not. Hebrews 13:8, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. And heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. So when I renew my mind with the word of God, it strengthens my will. When I spend time with the word of God, it strengthens my will so I can make decisions based on what God is saying, not based on what outside circumstances is saying. All right. So as I do that, I'm being transformed every day more and more and manifesting to a son and daughter of God. Not because of what my spirit is doing. My spirit is already there. But my mind has to catch up. I have to take my mind and make it catch up. Because when my mind catch up, because see, watch this. Our mind is caught up in different areas. Some things we got down pat. Some things we just ain't doing. You know, some things we just got it down pat. Well, your mind is caught up to your spirit in that area. But there's some other aspects of your mind that ain't caught up to your spirit because you're still struggling in that area. And it's not because your spirit ain't there to help you. It's because your mind is not lining up to your spirit. Is this making... You ever heard the word mental assenting? Anybody ever heard the word mental assenting? There's a word called mental assenting in which, as compared to faith, mental assenting is very similar, but there's one complete difference. Because you can confess the word of God and you can get positive thinking going on. Right? But if you have no spirit backing it up, then you're mental assenting. That means you just positive thinking. Wow. When does spirit get involved? Spirit gets involved when your agenda becomes God's agenda. So you got to people writing all these books and stuff about positive thinking. You can manifest this. You can manifest this. Why are you manifesting? Because the Bible says the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the offspring of God, the sons of God. So when I manifest, something should be happening in my life for God to benefit the earth. So I'm not just manifesting for my own selfish reasons. See, that's where you get people who positively thinking and people who walking in faith. Now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. That we talk about this, the hoped for is God's hope. So the purpose of me believing God and acting on what he's told me to do is to bring to pass what he wants. So this is why I have to get my mind right. This is why I renew my mind so I can recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you with me? Because I don't want to go too fast because when we start talking about the soul, and we start going to this uncharted territory and start really discovering that it's not our spirit is the problem. It's our soul. So when I renew my mind with the word of God, I'm rewriting my thought pattern and start thinking like God thinks. You can't think like somebody if you don't spend time with that person. Yes, sir. If I don't spend time with God, I'm not going to be able to think like God. If I don't think like God, I'm not going to recognize when God is moving. See, this is why renewing your mind with the word of God is so important, because it doesn't change. The word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm the Lord thy God, I change not. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. So therefore, watch this. When I renew my mind with the word of God, I don't have to know what direction is God. Watch this. When I connect to my spiritual leader, I don't have to know what direction God is going in. I just got to recognize my spiritual leader know God. Yes, sir. All right. I'm not a musician. I can't carry a note. I can't sing. I can't play. I don't know nothing about music. Right? Yes, sir. But I know good singing when I hear it. Anybody in the same boat with me? I can't play, I can't sing, but I know good singing when I hear it. Mm-hmm. Why do I know good singing when I hear it? Because I've been exposed to somebody who can hold a tone, hold a note. So when somebody who doesn't know how to hold a note, I can... They can sit down somewhere, they can't sing. Let's bring that analogy into the kingdom of God. I don't have to be an apostle. I don't have to be a prophet. I don't have to be an evangelist. I don't have to be a teacher. I don't have to be a pastor. But because I spend time with God, I can recognize that somebody walking with God. So watch this. It creates a freedom. Talk about your soul. Now talk about your soul. It creates a freedom. So I can follow who God has connected me to and not worry about anything. Because I'm spending time with God, I can recognize that they walking with God. So even if they go down a path that I ain't too sure about, because I know they walking with God and I can recognize it, I ain't got to have no reservations. This is why you renew your mind with the word of God. You renew your mind with the word of God so that it doesn't change. Your will, your mind is set on something stable so that when outside stimuli starts to move around, people telling me, suggesting me things, or my job telling me something, my finances telling me something else, my family telling me something else, I stick with the word of God. Because it ain't going to change. Everybody else going to change. Word of God doesn't change. Is this making sense? So therefore, when God has spoken to me, when God has spoken to me and said, I use myself as example. I know what God has told me concerning my apostle. I remind myself what God has said to me about my apostle. So therefore, if anybody, any information, anything comes from outside in stimuli trying to come against what God has spoken to me, I can make the right decision because I'm sticking with the word of God. So there's nothing the apostle could do to offend me. Because I'm not going to let Satan come in and say, well, why he did it that way? He ain't had to say that. Why he said that? He ain't had to do that. I'm not. Because it ain't changed what God has said. It's still the same thing. So why am I going to let outside stimuli come in and affect my will? Because the word hasn't changed. His instructions to me has not changed. Are y'all seeing this? Ephesians, the third chapter. We see Paul did something very unique here. Verse 14. Paul said, for this cause, very specific reason, I'm doing this. For this cause, for this prayer I'm about to pray, I'm going to bow my knees. Otherwise, I'm going to get in a reverent position before you, God, because this is important to me. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. This is why, verse 16, that he, meaning God, would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the what?
In the man.
That is not talking about your spirit.
Right.
I don't care what you've been taught. If they're telling you that's your inner man, they wrong. You don't need no revelation to figure that out. All you need is a Greek concordance. The Greek concordance says right there in that Greek concordance, inner man means your conscience. Your soul. So Paul is getting on his knees, praying for the Ephesians that God strengthen them with might by his spirit in their soul. Why Paul ain't praying for their spirit? Well, Paul said, we're going to pray for something that need to be prayed for.
Right.
Our minds, that thing like to run off every now and then. Now watch this. Why watch Paul praying for our mind, our soul? That Christ may dwell in your
heart.
Wait a minute. Let's work with this. That Christ may dwell in our
heart.
Right? Can't be talk. So we know this not talking about our spirits. He already there, right? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by your assignment. You seeing this? That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Now, this is important. Being rooted and grounded in love. So it's saying that your soul has to be rooted and grounded in love. How is my soul rooted and grounded in love? Because I renew my mind with the word of God. And God is. So when I renew my mind with the word of God, watch what it says. Watch what it says. Watch what it says. I'm being rooted and grounded. I cannot be moved. I'm being rooted and grounded in love. I'm being rooted and grounded in the word of God. Paul is praying that Christ dwell in our hearts, a soul, that we be rooted and grounded in God's word, in God's instructions, his plans. I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected in. Come, let us reason together. So your sins were scarlet, but when we finish talking, they're gonna be white. That's new. John 5:39, turn now. 5:39, turn now. John 5:39, you there? What it says? Go to what the next verse say. Wait a minute. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life, but they testify. But yet you won't come to me so that you might have. He says, search the scriptures. So that means when I'm searching the scriptures, I'm looking for him. When I'm looking for him, that means my thoughts getting affected. My thought patterns are being affected. So when I'm searching for him, I'm being rooted and grounded. Are you seeing this? Go back to Ephesians, the third chapter. Hold your finger there and jump one chapter over because I want you to see something. See, this is important that you understand the power of your will, because there's nothing that God has ever accomplished in the Bible with just one person. Right. And the reason why it took Jesus so long to get here is because as soon as God get a group of people going in the same direction, somebody got a grand idea they want to do their own thing. Yeah. I mean, that's why the children of Israel walked around 40 years on a 40-day journey. They walked in circles for 40 years. And it's going to take them 40 days to get where they're supposed to be going when they come out of Egypt. It took them 40 years because they couldn't renew their mind. So their mind can't be renewed. Romans 8 chapter. Go, come on, come on. What I told you, Ephesians 3, right? Hold your finger there until you go to Ephesians 4, right? Hold your finger there. Go to Rome, back to Romans 8. These are scriptures we know, but we're seeing them from a different light now. These are scriptures we read over and over, but we're seeing them from a different light because now we put an emphasis on the soul. Yes, sir. See, we used to read these scriptures talking about the soul, putting emphasis on the spirit. Yes, sir. So that don't make no sense. That's why it wasn't clear to us. But now we're going back and read these scriptures and put the emphasis on the soul like it was always intended to be because your spirit is perfect. Romans, the 8th chapter, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That's talking about thought patterns. To have your thought patterns follow the world is going to cause you to be separated from God. Remember now, conform. As compared to transform. To be spiritually minded, you got to be transformed. That means your thought patterns are being affected spiritually. Your thought patterns are being affected by the word of God. That's what that means. Look at the next verse. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. It didn't say the mind. It said the carnal mind. So the spirit mind, spiritually led mind can be subject to the law of God. Notice it said that the carnal mind is enmity or enemy of God. It's against God. It's against what God wants. So now it makes sense that if I don't renew my mind with the word of God, it's easy for Satan to send anything to come my way to trip me up. Go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Watch this. This is all about to make sense to you. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Verse 16. What's the first two words?
All.
Above what?
All.
Out of all the armor. It says above all, taking the what?
Shield.
What is it supposed to do? Fiery darts. Thoughts. Right? Watch this. Above all, taking the shield of your assignment. My instructions from God. Right? My instructions from God. What God is telling me. His word. It doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my assignment. So when I take, when I'm in my assignment, it is a shield. It is a protection from every thought that comes from the outside. So when I'm in my assignment, if there's any thought that comes that tries to get me to do something that's not in line with my assignment, I can recognize it and get rid of it. It quenched. See, this is why you have to have a God-centric view of your walk with him and not a self-centric view. Because when you have a self-centric view, you're just in it for what you can get, for what benefits. Data, I remember the benefits. God, I want this, I want this, I want this. So now, watch this. You ain't in your shield. So now when a shift is being made in your apostolic house, you ain't in your shield, Satan just simply going to send you a thought that's going to trip up your will. Now all of a sudden you're offended. Now all of a sudden you don't like what the apostle did. You don't like the correction he made. It says above what?
All.
Above all, taking the shield of faith. That way you can quench. I'll stop, quench, whatever you want to use, all the fiery thoughts. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Offense don't come from your spirit. Offense come from your soul. Offense come from... Offense comes when your soul has one way of thinking and an outside stimuli come with a different way of thinking and they clash. Other words, things ain't go the way you thought they were supposed to go. So you get offended.
Yes, sir.
And you're in your feelings. Are you seeing this? Watch this. 2 Corinthians. These are scriptures now that make sense. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Second Corinthians 10, chapter, the 5th verse, I think it is, yeah. Casting down imagination. That's thoughts. and every high thing that exalted itself against the and bringing in captivity every thought to the casting down every imagination and high thing that exalted itself against the word of God. Mm-hmm. So if I'm not renewing my mind when these thoughts come, I can't do nothing with them. Mm-hmm. When these thoughts come, if I don't have nothing to meet them, if I don't have nothing to compare them to, if I don't have nothing to check them at the door and say, do you have a key to reside here? What's the key to reside here? Do you resemble what I've been studying and reading? Do you resemble what God has said to me? If you don't resemble that, then you can't stay here. That thought, you can't, no, I'm not doing that. You can't stay here. Offense, you can't stay here. Because everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. If I don't have the knowledge of God, then I'm not going to know what's trying to exalt it. I don't know what's high trying to come. I don't. Everything just flowed through my mind. And I have nothing to compare it to. Go back to Ephesians 3. See, Satan not coming where you can see him. Satan coming where you can't see him. So if somebody is trying to get me where I can't see them, the best thing to do is set up an alarm system.
Yeah.
Around my house, I got cameras. I got an alarm system. When I leave, I put it on. I can't stay there all the time. When I leave, if somebody hit that door, the alarm goes off. Police are called. If somebody in the house, they gonna get arrested. You have to have the same thing on your mind. The word of God is your alarm system. But some of us don't want to install the alarm. And we wonder why we keep getting robbed. But the Bible says when I catch the thief, he got to restore to me. Are you saying this? The word of God has to be there because it's the thing that watches what outside stimuli is coming in. Because, see, you're going to always have outside stimuli. Yeah. You don't live in a bubble.
Right.
You're going to deal with crazy people, right, talking crazy things, right, doing crazy stuff.
Right.
But the word of God is your alarm system. It sends off an alarm every time a thought shows up as contrary to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's called conviction.
Mm-hmm.
Are you seeing this?
Yes,
so the word of God is your alarm, but when you leave the house, you still got to set it. So if you don't constantly spend time with the word of God, you can have an alarm system, but if you don't ever set it, if you don't read and spend time with God and set the alarm, you can have the alarm, but if you ain't setting it, thoughts coming. It keep coming. It keep bombarding. It keep bombarding you. You get offended. Somebody, one of your brothers and sisters say something. You get offended. You know, I don't like this. I don't like it. Because the alarm is not set. Ephesians. Ephesians 3. And then we're going to go to 4. I hadn't forgot. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. Look at verse 18. That ye may be able to
comprehend
with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. So that means that when I'm rooted and grounded in love, right? Sometimes God will take me places that's past my current knowledge. But because I'm rooted and grounded in love, I got no reason to fear. So watch this. So when I'm connected to my spiritual leader and they go someplace that we've never been before in the spirit world, I ain't got no reason to be tripping. Because I'm rooted and grounded in love. And watch this. When I'm rooted and grounded in love, I'm able to comprehend. Now watch the magnitude of this. Now watch the magnitude of what the Apostle Paul is saying. Because now, this is, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. This is where your soul, remember now, your spirit is the eyes for your soul into the spirit realm. Right? Remember we said that? And remember that your soul is the eyes of your spirit into the natural. Here is where your soul begin to take on the eyes of your spirit and begin to see in the supernatural. Watch this. Watch this. Watch what it says. It says that ye may be able to comprehend. That's your soul, right? Comprehend means what? To understand. Pick up on it. Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. Other words, what Apostle Paul is saying is that your mind will get connected to the spirit and begin to be exposed to all sorts of things that you couldn't grasp with just your regular mind. Yes, that you couldn't grasp just with your natural thinking. Yes, you'll be able to see into the spirit world and see things that other people can't see. Oh, wow. You'll have dreams and visions that other people can't have. You'll know things that's going to happen before they happen. That's the advantage we have. That's the advantage that we have when our soul is being renewed. When we allow to ourselves to be rooted and grounded in love, we have that advantage to be exposed to things that the people to the left and to the right of us can't be exposed to. They don't know this is going to happen at this time tomorrow, so I know not to go there. They don't know that this is about to happen over there, so all of a sudden I change and go this direction. We're able to hear voices that they can't hear. And to know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, since all that has happened, since all this has happened now, talking about the soul, now all this has happened, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundant above all that we ask or think, according, is in relation to something. In relation to the power that worketh in us. You know what that power is? The will. Yes, sir. So watch this. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to your will. What do you want? Do you want what God want? Or do you want just what you want? So now that power that's working in us is our will to do the will of God above everything else. Is this making sense? So now when we have the will, despite opposition, despite personal challenges, despite situations in our life, when we say no matter what happens, we're going to do what God is asking us to do. God said, I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask or think. According to just you making the decision to do what I ask you to do. So it's a matter of will and decision. That's what it's a matter of, will and decision. When God speaks to me, am I willing to do it? When God gives me instructions, am I willing to, if God corrects me, am I ready to make the change? If God pushes me to somewhere where I'm uncomfortable, am I willing to be uncomfortable? Is this making sense? So my will has to be guarded. I can't just let everybody have access to my will. Which means I can't let everybody have access to my ears. If somebody talking crazy to me, it hadn't happened because they know me already. I mean, it's kind of hard to talk crazy about a pastor to me. I mean, it's just kind of crazy. They don't do it because, I'm going to tell. I am. If anybody doing something around here that they ain't supposed to be doing, I'm going to tell. Especially in leadership, I'm going to tell. We ain't gonna have no fakeness around here. We gonna be real. Are you seeing this? So if anybody say anything crazy about Apostle to me, we no longer friends. That's including family. Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Because it's not that I don't love you. I love God more. So I love you, but if you're going to say something to me that could possibly affect my will. And watch this, nobody has more influence on us than our family. I would love to, but I don't go to family reunion because I know have them don't like what we do. So I don't want them to be nervous. When I show up, I want them to enjoy themselves. So I ain't coming. Because I want you to enjoy yourself and I want to enjoy myself. So I stay at my house. Y'all go have your reunion. That don't mean I won't try to help them. But I'm not going to hang around and let you talk to me and get me to be tripped up. See, that's what happened to Adam and Eve. Satan kept talking to them. Kept talking to them. Until what he was saying was overriding what God was saying. To the point to where when whatever he was saying overrode what God was saying, they begin to hide from God. They begin to hide from the person that created them. To listen to somebody who come from the Creator. We close here, Ephesians the 4th chapter. Watch this. See, this is why God connects you to a man or woman of God that will bring you further along in your walk with God. This is why. This is why right here. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the maturing, right? So let's deal with this now. Let's deal with this. Can't be talking about the maturing of our spirits. So what are they talking about? Okay. All right. The maturing of our soul. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So the fivefold will come here. It has been given to us as a gift. For the maturing of our soul, so that we can complete the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built up. That's edifying, right? Till we all come in the unity of the faith, till we all come in the unity of the assignment, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, a mature. Now watch this. Now this includes our spirit. Because now it's talking about our soul matured enough to release our spirit. So now the full benefits or the full potential of our spirit can be released because our soul is in direct alignment with our spirits. This is the best example I can come up with what's happening with you. The best example I can happen. Oh, when you're facing situations and they don't turn out like you want, this is the best example I can come up with. How many of y'all has ever had a Coke or Sprite or any carbonated drink and just shook it up? And if you pop that top or pop, what's going to happen? When you're in a situation, you're getting shook up. If your soul don't ever line up, the power on the inside won't ever be released. You can shake that Coke up all day long. In that 16 hours, you can shake it up all day long. If you don't pop that top, ain't no fizz coming out. You can shake it all day long. You can shake it, you can throw it up against the wall, whatever you want. Until that pop this top, that top is popped. Ain't no pressure. So what happens is we got all this on the inside of us. And because we don't align our soul up with our spirit, we can never express what's on the inside of us. See, that's the purpose of the fivefold. This is why Satan tried to put you, this is why Satan comes with little outside stimuli, influences, trying to get you to be upset with your leader. Because you don't listen to somebody who you're upset with. You don't take in what's, you don't take in information from somebody you don't agree with. Is this making sense? So therefore, your soul, you don't become a mature man, meaning you're a perfect man, a mature man, meaning your soul is lined up with your spirit. It's okay to, it's okay when you have a hose, water hose, and it's curled up and water goes through it. That's okay. You'll get water out of it. But you're going to get more pressure when it's straightened out and in alignment. See, it's okay to get some of the reflection of the sun, but it's even better when you stand directly in the sun. Is this making sense? So when your soul is directly lined up with your spirit, full expression can take place. That's how instantaneous miracles happen.
Yep. Yes,
sir. When your soul is completely lined up with your spirit, then complete expression can take place. Are y'all seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Closing right here. Till we all come to unity of the faith, verse 13, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. What it's saying is, the reason why we have the fivefold is to help align our soul with our spirit. So that, watch this, we could be rooted, once again, rooted and grounded, so that when somebody comes along with outside stimuli, I'm already rooted and grounded. You can't shake me. You can't tell me no foolishness. You can't tell me no anything. Because I'm, number one, watch this, number one, I'm spending time with God for myself. So when I spend time with God myself, I can recognize somebody who can sing. So you can't tell me nothing about my leader. Because I can recognize myself, he can sing. She can sing. Remember the illustration? I don't have to be the prophet. I don't have to be the apostle. I don't have to be deep all in the spirit. I'm spending time with God. Because I'm spending time with God, I can recognize this. My sheep hear my voice. Those that follow me, my sheep can recognize. Because they spend time with me. Are y'all getting this? I'll see y'all next week.